Pro Football Focus released their top 10 rankings of NFL head coaches right now. Guess where they put Mike Tomlin? We'll talk about that with Josh Taylor, KDK TV, and 93.7 The Fan, right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things in the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, hit the like button. If you're enjoying the show, hit the subscribe button to our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes, as well as our bonus content. We thank you for making the Locked On Steelers podcast your first listen every day. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline.net. BetOnline has you covered all season long with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. Joining today, as I said earlier, our man Josh Taylor is leading off the week. Normally we have him later in the rotation, but he's the leadoff batter coming out the gate here on Monday on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Josh, how you doing?
I don't think I've hit leadoff probably since I was like in ninth or tenth grade, so I'm excited about this. Let's get this going. I'm looking forward to getting on base. It's my thing. So
you and me neither. Neither of us have been fast in a long time.
That's a lot of years and a lot of LBs ago. That's all I'll say about that.
A lot of years and a lot of LBs. Well, I was going to say, speaking of LBs, but we're not talking linebackers. We're talking coaching. And so I didn't get the right layup there. But Josh, you and I talk a lot about coaching, and I wanted to save this topic for you and I to talk about because I could talk about this with anybody, but you bring a lot of historical perspectives. You studied a lot of coaches. You studied, you know, their comparisons, their history, the context of things. When people talk about coaches and where they belong, you and I often discuss how things can get crazy and thrown out of whack and how that often happens with Mike Tomlin. Now, about a week and a half ago, Pro Football Focus released their 2022 preseason head coach rankings in the NFL. Now, if you know these rankings, you know what we're about to see. But if you don't know these rankings, I want you to take a guess in your head if you're watching this show. Is Mike Tomlin top 5, top 6, 8, 10? This is just the top 10. Is he in the top 10? Well, here's your answer. He's not. And according to Pro Football Focus, your top 10 coaches are Bill Belichick at 1, no argument. But here's where it gets wonky completely after that. John Harbaugh at 2, Andy Reid at 3. Okay, I actually down with Andy Reid top 5. That makes a lot of sense. Here's where it gets crazy. Cliff Kingsbury at 4. Pete Carroll at 5. Matt LaFleur at 6. Kyle Shanahan at 7. Mike Vrabel at 8. Frank Reich at 9, and Mike McCarthy at 10. Now, I got a lot to say about all the different coaches that is on this list above Mike Tomlin, but I'm going to let Josh get the first crack at this. Like I said, you're our leadoff hitter for the week, so you get to lead off. Which of those coaches do you – like? There's some that you can argue with. Like, you can argue with Andy Reid. You can argue with different coaches. But which one coaches on this list, and I'll pull it up again for you so you can see it on YouTube and you can see it here, Josh. Which of these coaches on this list are you definitely jumping Mike Tomlin ahead of?
Everybody but Belichick and Andy Reid. After that, he jumps everybody else. Up until maybe 2 years ago, you could have made a case for Pete Carroll because you're going to go off resume with these guys, right? Both have been to 2 Super Bowls. Both have won 1. However, the way Pete Carroll lost that Super Bowl, doesn't that knock him down a peg or two? Shouldn't that be the deciding factor, really, in how we look at this list? If we're really going to get down to the fine details, I think that's what kind of gives Tomlin the edge over Pete Carroll. We're really going with Mike McCarthy above Mike Tomlin right now. Did you see that team that Dallas had last year? Did you see the performance they had against San Francisco in the playoffs? We're still putting that guy above Mike Tomlin. Are you kidding me? Compared to the fact that Mike Tomlin's defense kept Kansas City shut out for 24 minutes in the wild card round, which only happened to the Chiefs, by the way, 2 other times the entire season. That's what Mike Tomlin's defense did before the wheels finally fell off because the offense couldn't score. Now, that's another entirely different thing. I'll say this much, too. You saw some of the teams, some of the coaches on this list. They had quarterbacks way better than Mike Tomlin's quarterback was last season. Mm-hmm. and lost to way worse teams in the playoffs. Matt LaFleur lost to Kyle Shanahan in the playoffs. Mike Vrabel had no business losing that game in the playoffs because his quarterback went just ridiculous mode in the fourth quarter. Cliff Kingsbury, why did that team fall apart down the stretch with the quarterback that they had?
Why do they always fall apart down the
why
stretch?
Why do they always fall apart during, down the stretch? Meanwhile, and I'm going to keep coming back to this because this stat is the most telling thing I have found about Mike Tomlin in recent memory. Since week three of 2019, since after Ben Roethlisberger hurt his elbow in week two against Seattle, since week three of the 2019 season, which, by the way, was right after they acquired Minkah Fitzpatrick, since that time, the Steelers have played 47 games. They have won 29 of them. 29, 17, and 1. And that is after their franchise quarterback had the injury that, in my opinion, pretty much derailed his career and pretty much brought it to an end probably sooner than it could have been. But in those 29 games, in 22 of them, the defense held the other team to 20 points or less. And they had an even or positive turnover margin. They did that without a functioning, healthy franchise quarterback in the last 47 games. That alone should put Mike Tomlin in the top 10 of this list. And in the two full seasons since that happened, they made the playoffs both years and even won a division championship. And also in those two full seasons, they swept the guy that PFF has number two in John Harbaugh.
But
four times in a row, they've beaten Baltimore.
That's my biggest note here.
Come on.
If you want to say he's below Andy Reid because Andy Reid's had recent success and he had the Eagles, even though he didn't win a Super Bowl with the Eagles, I get it. Both have been to – Andy Reid's been to – he's been to more. Wait, has he been to more Super Bowls? Because he went to one with the Eagles. He's won one with the Chiefs, but he hasn't been to a second one with the Chiefs. So no, he's been to as many Super Bowls.
They lost one with the Chiefs. They lost to Tampa.
That's right. Okay, so he's been to more. He's won more AFC. He's won more. So he's won in two, right?
Yes. So he's lost in two. He's won in two Super Bowls. He lost with Philly and he lost with the Chiefs. He won the one against San Francisco.
Right. So he's won in two in the Super Bowl. So. Mm-hmm. You could say he has one more conference championship than Mike Tomlin. If that puts you above, and by the way, those last two that he went to was because he lucked into Patrick Mahomes. You know,
that's a fair argument.
And again, that's not saying that the Chiefs don't deserve credit for drafting him. But if Mike Tomlin ever got a chance to draft Patrick Mahomes, my goodness, like that would be that'd be another level.
Like I said, I would not put Mike Tomlin above Andy Reid just because Andy Reid's resume is just so much longer. He's been around the league more. He's just accomplished more by comparison. So it's hard for me to put him above Andy Reid, especially with what Kansas City's doing right now. And I have no problem with putting Andy Reid and Bill Belichick above Mike Tomlin. But everybody else, and oh yeah, there's another guy on that list who hasn't beat Mike Tomlin in a couple of years, and Mike Vrabel. Mike Tomlin has now stolen a couple wins from Mike Vrabel in the past couple seasons. Mm-hmm. Even though there was one guy, I won't say his name, who tried to give it back in 2020. But Mike Tomlin has beaten Mike Vrabel in each of those last two games too. So I mean, even head to head, he's ahead of a lot of these guys.
You're right. In 2020 and 2021, 2020 was the game when they went into Tennessee. Tennessee was undefeated. The Steelers knocked them off, and that was when Robert Spillane stuck Derrick Henry in the hole, and they found some crazy way to win. And then this past year,
they were up 20 in the third quarter of that game.
Four turnovers forced by the defense, and then a turnover on downs at the end of the game. You're right, but again. You know what? If you think Mike Vrabel, because he's made it to the playoffs, okay, Mike Tomlin has literally swept John Harbaugh in back-to-back seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't put him there. You know, and that's where I'm kind of like, that's where this goes over the top. There's more points to this that we're going to get to in just a minute here, so we're going to address that on the Locked On Steelers podcast. So don't go anywhere. We're still talking about this, and we got some offensive line talk coming your way. But first, we got to talk to you guys about Blue Nile. Blue Nile, of course, is the place where you go to get amazing jewelry and where you're going to find jewelry as unique as her with modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. Blue Nile has simple online tools that let you choose the diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as setting style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft her perfect engagement ring. Each ring is one of a kind. Looking for fine jewelry but having trouble choosing? Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7, available via phone or chat. To help you find your memorable gift at every budget. Make your moment sparkle with blue jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Sports listeners will get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement rings. So be sure to get to BlueNile.com and use that promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever piece at BlueNile.com today. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Josh Taylor, KDK TV, and 90.7 The Fan. Josh, wanted to talk more about this coaching situation. Now, again, we can go over these rankings as much as we want. I also think it's crazy to think Frank Reich and the Colts get on there when they literally, they're losing to the Jaguars. The Jaguars.
Them losing to the Jaguars put the Steelers in the playoffs.
So
you can't put Reich above Tomlin when Reich put Tomlin in the playoffs.
Exactly. So that's one thing. But I wanted to reference a guy who's a good dude. I've only met him a couple times, but Ryan Scarpino used to work for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And
Ryan is a good dude.
He's a very good dude. But he put this list together, I want to say even months ago. But I saved it because I wanted to save it for off-season talk when we were not, you know, talking about the newest content that's out every day and interviewing players. But he put this list together. Do follow Ryan Scarpino at Scarpizio, S-C-A-R-P-I-Z-I-O, on Twitter. But he put this list together. Now, you're looking at these numbers here on YouTube. If you're listening, we'll explain. We're about to read off these are all active head coaches with their winning percentages and records against teams with winning records. And I think there was like a limit of like you had to play at least like 50 teams with winning records or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it starts off at the bottom of the list, Lovie Smith, because now he's coaching the Texans. He has a 30.4 winning percentage against winning teams that end up with a winning record at the end of the season. So he's 21-48. Next is Ron Rivera, 32.1% at 26-54-1. Next up is the guy that PFF says is the number two coach in the NFL, John Harbaugh, at 38.8%. 40-63 against teams that finished with winning records. Next up, Mike McCarthy, 39.6% with a 42-63-1 record against teams with winning records. Pete Carroll, 41.7%, 50-70. Andy Reid, 45.2% at 70-85. So now that we've read all those names off, you know that coming up is probably Bill Belichick at some point. Well, Bill Belichick has a 49.7 win percentage with a 95-96 record against team with winning records. So even Bill Belichick has a losing record against teams that finished with a winning record in a season, career-wise. Mike Tomlin has the highest winning percentage of all coaches who have faced that many teams with winning record. He has won 51% of those games at a record of 52-50, right at the top of the NFL. Josh, when people say Mike Tomlin loses the games that he's supposed to, I always retort, well, that means he has to have a heck of a record against the games that he's not supposed to win. So it goes back to a point that you've been making, talking about beating teams like the Titans, beating teams like the Bills. Mike Tomlin not only steals games from the teams from games that he's not supposed to win, like Buffalo this year, like Tennessee this year, but he also, the Steelers find a way to be competitive more often than not in those games. And when you're in those games, you're going to find a way to win them more often than not.
And Mike Tomlin has his formula for winning those games. Mm-hmm. Keeping defenses limited on the scoreboard and not turning the ball over. That's the way he's been doing it. But that's the way the teams that have won games and won championships have been doing it for years, literally years. I mean, I've been doing research on this for probably months on end now about teams and how successful they are and pretty much the formula for becoming a winning football team. And for me, even for this organization, and I keep pointing this out to people, this organization, the teams that have been the most successful have been the most successful when they are in the top 10 in the league in points allowed, and most of them have been in the top 5. And when they've had even or positive turnover margins and they've been able to limit their turnovers, it really is the crux of all of it. Most of the successful teams in this league's history have followed that blueprint. Even most of the teams that made the playoffs last season. This is how big of a thing this is. But it all comes back around to Mike Tomlin having the record that he has. This is another thing that people tend to look past. He has had to play a lot better teams in his own division year over year. Cincinnati, Baltimore last year. Baltimore and Cleveland the year before that. He faces playoff caliber teams in his division every year. Bill Belichick usually does not. Mm-hmm. He just started having to deal with Buffalo a couple years ago. For about a decade and a half, he never had to deal with a team that was good enough to make the playoffs. And when they were good enough, they very seldom lasted. Like the Jets poked their head out for a year or two.
Right.
The Dolphins poked their head out for a year or two. For the most part,
they quickly got smacked back down.
And that also speaks to another point. Belichick's good for losing to the Dolphins probably once a year on average.
Right.
And how good have the Dolphins been over the last couple of decades? Not that great. So yeah, we're talking about coaches on this list who, other than John Harbaugh, Mike McCarthy has not really competed in a great division. Pete Carroll might be the one that you look at. Besides right. Harbaugh and
NFC
Tomlin,
West has been tough during his
the time. NFC West has been a really good division for probably the last decade. He's really the only other guy you're like, okay, I can see how he can lose some games to good teams because he's got good teams in his division. The rest of these teams, Ron Rivera, in Washington, and Lovie Smith when he was in the NFC North, Rivera when he was, you know, coaching another team in the NFC South, which has been bad for God knows how long. This, it just continues to strengthen the argument. Yes, there have been things that have happened in Mike Tomlin's tenure that have been frustrating. There have been things that he's said over the past that have rubbed people the wrong way. But the evidence speaks for itself. Now, if you want to bring up the playoff losses, fine. But here's something I'm going to toss at you. After his last Super Bowl win, Chuck Noll didn't win a lot of playoff games either. There's ebb and flow with every coach. We talked about Andy Reid being 1-2 in the Super Bowl. That man's got a lot of playoff losses, too, in Philadelphia. He lost four straight AFC championship games, for crying out loud.
I also want to point out that
– or NFC championship games, excuse me.
One of the things that gets held against Mike Tomlin or used against him in these arguments is, he had Ben Roethlisberger. And you and I have talked about this a lot on this show. The Ben Roethlisberger's playoff numbers, he has not carried the team to a playoff win since maybe the 2005 AFC championship game against the Denver Broncos. Maybe if you want to say the 2010 Ravens playoff game divisional round when they came back. But again, the defense also chipped in with a lot of turnovers in the second half there.
2010 would be my pick.
Me? Against Joe Flacco. We're talking about 12 years ago that Ben Roethlisberger did it. So when people say, he only has three playoff wins, well, yeah, the last one, by the way, which was over Andy Reid in Kansas City.
It sure was.
Still the only team, I believe, to beat Kansas City coming off a bye week in the playoffs in NFL history. But he beat him there. That was with defense and running game purely. Ben Roethlisberger didn't throw a single touchdown while Le'Veon Bell had over 200 yards. The Dolphins game before that, Ben Roethlisberger threw some nice touchdowns early, but then it was the running game of defense that closed it out the rest of the way while he wasn't able to do as much. And then 2015, Ben came out, you know, at the end of the game and made a couple like little passes here and there. But that was a game where the Steelers shut out the Bengals for 3.5 quarters. The Bengals started to come back, and then Ryan Shazier with a miracle strip, and then, of course, the Bengals collapsing in the final minutes. You can't look at that. But meanwhile, look at Bill Belichick and how many of these games that he has against these teams with winning records. By the way, he has a losing record against teams with winning. How many of these games right here were because Tom Brady saved the day? How many games for Andy Reid has he gotten boosted from Patrick Mahomes saving the day? And Ben Roethlisberger saved plenty of days himself. I'm not saying that he didn't, but people would agree. Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, these are MVP caliber quarterbacks. Ben's never been in that conversation. He's just not. And
not a single MVP vote in his career.
When you look at the quarterback level that got the next two coaches that have the next two best records against teams with winning records. You look at that, and I think it's another testament to Tomlin that, hey, Ben Roethlisberger, great quarterback, will be in the Hall of Fame, but he wasn't on the level of Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes in those years that these coaches were racking up a lot of these games that we're talking about.
I got another question for you. How many of those losses that Bill Belichick had against teams with winning records, how many of them were against Mike Tomlin and Bill Cowher in the regular season? Because there's a couple of them.
I mean, it's not too many.
Not too many of them, but there's a few.
2004, it was when they beat them like right before Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
2011, when Troy Polamalu poked the ball at the back of the end zone.
I want to say 2018?
It was 2019. No, it was 2018. You're right. It was 2018.
When Joe Hayden closed it out with the
Joe Hayden interception. So three of those games are on the hands of the Pittsburgh Steelers, either Bill Cowher. But here's my thing about that. Bill Belichick definitely got his end in the
way. Oh, he did. So, I mean, that's definitely true. But I mean, we're talking about the back and forth here. He didn't completely steamroll the Steelers in all those regular season meetings. Now facing them in the playoffs is an entirely different.
That's right. In the playoffs, Bill Belichick, I believe, is 3-0 against the Steelers in his time. 1-0 against 2-0 against Cowher, 1-0 against Tomlin in that time. But point being, PFF lost their minds.
Oh, that wouldn't be the first time that they've lost their minds.
Wouldn't be the first time, but I know that some Steelers fans are listening. Chris, we know PFF is crazy. We talk about this all the time. But I want to emphasize to you, if people bring this list up to you or bring up, you know, Tomlin stuff to you, you throw these numbers at them, these facts that we're bringing to you, the things we're saying here, and you'll be able to stand there and say, yeah, that's the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Best winning percentage against teams with winning records of coaches that have played at least 50 or so games against such teams. And he definitely is in the top 10. My book, he is no lower than top 3 in the NFL. That's where I have him. I think that's where Josh has him as well.
I'd have him third. If you want to make a case for Pete Carroll at fourth, you could put Mike Tomlin fourth. But right now, I put him above Pete Carroll because Mike Tomlin has done more with less than Pete Carroll has had in the past few years. And I'll make that case until you put me in the ground. And I had someone ask me recently, well, I don't understand why people think Mike Tomlin is this great coach. Go look it up. Stack him against other coaches in the league. He's been in the league 15 years. There have not been that many coaches that have been able to do as much in 15 years that Mike Tomlin has done, whether current or past. It's indisputable at this point. This man is already on track at this point. If he retired tomorrow, he'd be in the top 20 in winning percentage in NFL history among coaches. This is what we're talking about. And there's no sign of him slowing down at this point. He is not ready to go anywhere. And I keep coming back around to this. They bring up the whole, oh, well, his record in the playoffs. How do you get to the playoffs? You got to win in the regular season. Right. You got to win in the regular season to get to the playoffs. There's a reason why he's had a lot of games he's coached in the playoffs, because he's never had a losing season. And 9 times out of 10, if you have a winning record, you got a good chance to make the playoffs. But you got to get there first before you do anything else, which is what he talks about every year. We got to get to the single elimination tournament and then try to win it. But he always says it. You got to get there first. And there aren't many coaches in the league that are better at getting there with that kind of regularity outside maybe Andy Reid and Bill Belichick. He's probably the next best guy as far as getting to the playoffs with any kind of regularity, much less having a chance at winning a championship. That is indisputable. I don't care what numbers you throw at me. I got numbers that are better than yours anyway. So keep trying. Maybe you'll get there one day. Maybe.
Maybe. We got to go to a break. We come back. A little bit of offensive line talk. We are running into the clock here a little bit. But first, I got to talk to you guys about betonline.net, which is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NBA Finals. Game 6, baby, was live. And you have the start of the Major League Baseball season. Of course, the Stanley Cup Finals well underway. All of that can be bet on and learned about how you bet on at betonline.net. Your continued source for all your sports wagering information from live betting, playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today and use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in the action when you visit BetOnline, where the game starts. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, we're going to shift to our phone line real quick to get a quick question in here before we head out. This one comes from Todd in Georgia asking about the Steelers offensive line. Remember, you can call our number at 412-223-6644 if you want to get a question in, or email losteelerstopicbag@gmail.com for your question if you're international. Here's Todd with his question.
Hey, Chris. My name's Todd. I'm from Georgia. Love the show. Keep up the good work. I listen every day. My question for you is, with all the recent changes with the offensive line coaches and new linemen every year, as it seems, how confident are you that this group for 2022 can really gel together and become a good, strong offensive line? That's my question. Thanks. Love the show. Hope to hear from you.
Thank you, Todd. And Todd gave me this question a little while back, so I do apologize, Todd, for taking a while to get this question on, but we hope that you're still with us and you get to see this answer. But Todd, I talked about this a little with Brian Batko last week, and I'm for one, and Josh, I'd like to get your opinion here. I don't think the Steelers did enough for the offensive line. I do think that there's potential there. I like Kevin Dotson as a young player. I think that he can do a fine job. I think Kendrick Green is going to show what he's really worth this year. Mason Cole, I think, is a solid veteran center to kind of hold the fort. I really liked the James Daniels signing. Chukwuma Okorafor, I think, was a good guy to bring back at the price that they got him. And Dan Moore Jr. did a good job for a fourth-round rookie. But all that's being said, I had to put a caveat in for every one of them. It was like, yeah, this was good, but this was good, but this was guy for this. They need a stout offensive line at some point again in their near future, and they didn't really put as much into the offensive line as I thought they would. Josh, do you see differently? Do you think that they needed to do more? And do you think that, that there's enough for this group to coalesce, come together, and be a more efficient unit?
Yeah, the one thing I think you and I both talked about is that neither of us were really thrilled about the depth just at the tackle position alone. I think that concerned both of us. I think the one thing that they managed to actually have is that there's depth in the interior positions between center and guard. Is it quality depth? That maybe remains to be seen, but there's at least bodies there that you can interchange if something goes wrong. And I think that's exactly what their plan was. It's like, okay, if a guy gets hurt, who can we plug here? Who can we plug there? And I think that's why they like the versatility on the interior of the offensive line. And I don't hate the theory behind it, but is it quality depth? I think is the question that's going to need to be answered over time. If there's something I'm looking at, it's the fact that, yes, this group does not pop off the page. But the thing that does stand out to me is the ages next to the names.
Yes.
These are all guys in early to mid 20s.
24, 25.
That's what sticks out to me, because even if they're not good or not great now, but that doesn't mean that they can't get better over time. And I'll use Dan Moore as the perfect example. We didn't expect Dan Moore to be their starting left tackle last season. And by the time he was done, by the time that season was over, he was their most consistent offensive lineman. He was their most reliable guy. And I think he missed, what, one or two games because of injury? But he was their most reliable offensive lineman by the end of last season. And that's as surprising as the fact that he became the starter and then became their most reliable guy. Now, I'm going to keep making this case. They faced Cleveland later on in the year. He did a pretty good job against Myles Garrett, who a lot of people, including PFF, thought was the best pass rusher in the league. And Dan Moore's like, maybe pump the brakes on that. But if there's something I am looking at, yeah, they're not probably where you would want them to be right now, but that doesn't mean they can't get there over time, because this is a group that can still get better because they're still getting older. And as good as we think James Daniels is, he's still, what, 26, 27 years 24. Old?
No, he's 24.
24 years old. My God. 24
years old. Him and Chooks got 4 years of experience in the NFL, and they are 24 years old. That is the crazy part.
That should scare some people, because this group can still develop. And the thing I like already is that you can tell with the five projected guys that they have already, at least from what they're telling us, they've already started to at least get some kind of camaraderie, which I think is a really good thing, because if your offensive line is going to be good, they got to build up some kind of ethos together, and that's really important. But I don't expect them to be great now. If we're looking at it by the end of the regular season, or maybe even by this time next year, I expect us to have a lot better things to say about this offensive line, if for no other reason than because there's still development there to be had, and they hit those benchmarks to help them get better.
My last thing here before we got to go, because we're over the clock right now. But my thing with Pat Meyer, because Todd asked us about the new offensive line coach. Pat Meyer, from what I've talked to these guys, Adrian Clem came to them last year and said, we're going to be more physical. And they wanted to focus on that. Pat Meyer is saying the same thing, but he's showing them how to be more physical. From what I understand, from when I talked to Kevin Dotson, the guys are saying he's showing us the technique to go along with that. It's the strategy of when to be physical and how to be physical at different points, not just we're just going to fire off, be mean, be tough, and change the line of scrimmage. Those are things different. And all of them have also said that Pat Meyer is also doing a much better job connecting with the players, whereas Adrian Clem, very young coach, kind of came up as the assistant and worked his way into that spot. Whereas Pat Meyer, he's been around the NFL. He knows how to work with various different offensive linemen, has a lot more experience. I think that there's a better chance to work with there. Josh, I would like to get your opinion on that, but I got to get us out of here because I got to get things moving here. But thanks so much for joining. Thanks for joining us, Josh. Let people can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
On social media, Josh Taylor HD, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. As far as TV work goes, cbspittsburgh.com, radio, 93.7 The Fan on the Odyssey app. You'll find me there mostly on Sunday mornings, and usually I have Chris on the show, so that helps too.
Absolutely. It's a lot of fun when I'm on the show with Josh and when he's on the show here with me. So it's awesome when we get to team up, Josh. Thanks again for coming on the show. You can follow this show, the Locked On Steelers podcast, on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. Like the video if you enjoyed it. Subscribe to your YouTube channel to get all of our daily content Monday through Friday. I'm Chris Carter. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. Read my work at SteelersNow.com, where I'm always breaking things down on your Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll be back with more tomorrow on your Pittsburgh Steelers.